Thanks for tuning in to the Undercuts review of the 2024 Hungarian Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and enjoy the show.
By being a racing driver, you are under risk all the time. And by being a racing driver means you are racing with other people. And if you no longer go for a gap that exists, you're no longer a racing driver.
All right, so we had the 2024 Hungarian Grand Prix. I saw a crazy stat going into this weekend that I guess like nobody from the front row has, or no one in pole position has won this race in quite a while. So interesting that, you know, maybe pole position is not always good here.
I mean, it's definitely thrown up some craziness in the past. I mean, Esteban Ocon 3 years ago, no one predicted that in the Alpine. But there's quite a few guys who've scored their maiden win in Hungary. Jenson Button was another one, as well as Ocon. But there were a few others, like I think maybe Jean Alesi, but don't count me to that one. But they were reeling them off at the start of maybe qualifying, and it throws up some unexpected results sometimes, I think. So
yeah. Which is great. And we've had a lot of unexpected results recently. You haven't been on the show recently, but obviously we've had like 5 or 6 winners out of the last 5 or 6 races, which is not what we would have expected the first 7 races of the season.
No, I mean, when you think back to like Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, what was one of the other ones at the start of the season?
Like everything before Monaco, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, because you had Carlos in Australia, and he was challenging Max at the front, but at the end of the day, you know, Max still went out, and there's that question mark hanging over. So, and then there was a run of like 5 or 6 races where I say Max, and I honestly thought maybe 3 or 4 races into this season that it was going to be worse than last year, because it was just like total Max show. And you know, there's been a really good stretch of, you know, even go back to Imola, even though Lando didn't come and get it from Max, you know, he was off the back of that win in Miami the race before. And then you had Imola, but then you got the next 3-4 races. I mean, what was the last race that Max won?
It was the one right after Monaco, which was a crazy race.
Spain.
And he just happened to win it. Yes, Spain.
Yeah.
Spain.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's become interesting.
And that's
good. That's good. Yes. You know, especially, you know, because Lando has been the guy for the majority of the happenings, right? He's the guy who's been chasing down Max, and the McLaren car has definitely been the one that has been consistently good, but we've still had the Ferrari at Monaco, and obviously Austria and Silverstone back-to-back Mercedes, albeit due to the accident in Austria. But it's really shaping up this season.
Yeah, it's getting very exciting, and obviously for me as a McLaren fan, they're coming into this race being on the podium in the last 8 races, an 8-race podium streak, which is unbelievable to think about the beginning of last season to coming into where we are now, is amazing. But we didn't get much excitement from any of the practice sessions other than Charles having a crash in FP2.
Yeah.
But they have time to fix it, and it didn't seem to, you know, affect him going forward. But we had a lot of guys kind of struggling going off the track a little bit. It was wet sometime, so you know, a little bit of that. And then going into qualifying, it started raining right before the session as well.
It seems like there's been a lot of rain in sessions this summer, right? You have obviously the early season stuff, which is in the Middle East and in areas where we don't really get a whole lot of rain. Man, we're getting some spicy action because of just the mixed conditions, whether it be drying tracks, rain coming in. You know, I think Silverstone had it all, right?
Sure.
There was dampness in qualifying, which kind of shook things up, and then that rain coming in. You can't beat a good bit of weather, to kind of keep things interesting.
Yeah. And it always seems to come, well, mostly coming during qualifying sessions, which is the best because it's just, you know, an all out duel and anybody has a chance to get it if they're at the right time in the drying track to come out. But it didn't seem like the rain made much of a difference coming in here. Everyone started on slick tires anyway. It wasn't raining enough to, you know, cause too much.
No. And I think that, you know, when you look at when the weather is changing like this, it's a lot about who's making the decisions, the quick decisions. If they didn't want to pit Lando and Oscar on the same lap, why did they not bring in Oscar the lap before and give him an opportunity to, you know, it wasn't quite wet enough, but then he'd have had heat in the inters, whether that's what you want or not, I don't know. But it seems like it would have been less of a sacrifice of lap time to bring him in a lap early than to leave him out a lap late.
Yeah.
But it's just, but it's all in that moment. It's who's making the good decisions as quickly as they can, not dithering, not consulting too much, just making the right decision for that point in the race based on what they know.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And a little bit of foreshadowing to what we'll see towards the end of this race. But, Checo crashed out in Q1. Another awful qualifying session for Checo, and this is him being out in qualifying in Q1 in 4 of the last 6 Grand Prix, bringing out a red flag.
It's not been
atrocious form.
It has not been good for Checo. I mean, I'm sure you guys have talked about how going into this race, Hülkenberg, our buddy Nico Hülkenberg, has outscored Checo not including this weekend's race, but you know, based off the last few races, outscored Checo in 2 races what Checo scored in 6. And you shared the qualifying stats today on our chat, which is incredible. Is that he's only out-qualified. If any other driver on the grid was his teammate, the only people he would have out-qualified were like Bottas and Joe. And one or both of the Alpines?
Because I think both of the Alpines, but the both of the Haases out-qualified him as well.
Yeah. Like Logan Sargeant out-qualified him like 4-3 in the last 7 races or something. Right?
Yep.
Which is just bananas, given that he's in what has been for the last 3 seasons the quickest car. And in Max's hands, it's still, you know, maybe not quite what the McLaren is right now. But the fact that Checo's in that car and he can't out-qualify consistently the Williamses. And no disrespect to my buddies at Williams, but holy shit, you've got to be out-qualifying them when you're in the Red Bull.
Yeah. Your buddies at Williams would say that they're shocked probably that they're both out qualifying Checo in the last.
Yeah. And Logan is, you know, looking into the abyss of his F1 career, and Checo got a 2-year deal in the Red Bull. It's a little bit weird.
Yes, it is.
You know, if rumors are to be believed, there are performance clauses in there. I mean, obviously the one that he's nowhere close to being is within 100 points of Max, which is reputed to be what the performance clause. I also think there's one he's got to be within 5 spots in the Constructors' Championship as well. And I don't know quite what the difference is there, but this with Piastri's win, he's probably
close.
He's got to be 7th, surely. I don't want to say what that was coming on today because we've got to talk about it. But it's like, man, he's not hitting any of those performance categories at all. So
yeah,
what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously been lots of rumors coming into the weekend about Liam Lawson maybe just jumping up into the Red Bull seat and Yuki being upset about that, but
because he's like,
regardless,
which you got to feel for Yuki because I mean, although, you know, he's had a couple of shaky races, you know, in the mid, you know, the middle third. But, you know, certainly the first third of the season, yeah, he's been really good. And they, you know, you've got to kind of look at it and go, well, they signed Checo to the long deal in the main seat, and obviously saying that Yuki's not the guy for us. So he kind of feel for him because he's clearly going to be demotivated, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
But when you look at the standings, it's Yuki's the second best Red Bull driver out there right now after Max.
Yeah.
So why would he not get the look in?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I think they should just put him in now. I mean, at this point.
Well, I mean, why not? My unsolicited view on this is put Daniel Ricciardo in the second Red Bull right now.
Mm.
And then you have Perez and Yuki going against one another in the RB, the VCARB. And then you can get a really good sense of where Yuki is relative to Checo. And then it becomes a decision of if Daniel goes into the main squad and does well, keep him, fine. And then if Yuki isn't consistently beating Checo, then why is Yuki still around? I love Yuki. But then it's like, well, if he's not better than the guy who's failing against Verstappen, then, well, Perez is better than Yuki, and Yuki doesn't deserve the seat. If he's better and then Perez is, well, then they've got something to think about. But they've got to put Liam in a seat next year. Otherwise, they lose him. But there aren't that many seats left. So what's the... Red Bull have got some decisions to make. And I honestly I can't see Checo being the right answer in any of those seats. Now, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, it was 2020, right? 2020, his seat at Racing Point was toast because they were, what were they? They'd signed,
signed Lance's Fernando. Lance's dad bought the team.
Got Fernando and
they got the team. They got Seb.
That's right. Yeah, sorry. Exactly. That's right. Yeah. And so despite the fact that, I mean, and that was a thing because Checo had done so much for the team when it was going into liquidation to try and, you know, at least prop up the team.
Got that crazy win.
Yeah. And then he got that crazy win and it was like, oh, you know what? It wasn't time for Checo to be out of F1 at that point.
Yeah.
But that was 4 years ago. And he's had four seasons in Red Bull. It's comfortable for Max, but that's not going to get them the championship that gets them the money.
Yeah.
Which is the constructor's title.
Yeah, so absolutely. Especially with teams breathing down their neck now, they can't afford to have one driver so far down the grid because then they're screwed.
And I can't remember exactly when it was that they gave him the contract extension, but at that point, Red Bull was still the strongest car. At that point, Red Bull was clearly the strongest car. But that's a lot has changed between then and now. And if they hadn't signed him then, would they still be signing him now? And I would hazard to say that they wouldn't.
Yeah. It's like shades of the Democratic Party going on at Red Bull right now. It's very...
We'll not get too much into politics on this podcast because
we're not going to talk about it.
But also we have listeners in Germany, in Latvia. We've got listeners all over the world, and we don't want to bore you with the shenanigans that is American politics.
Yes, not even at all, but very similar situations.
But very similar situation, yeah.
Yeah. But also, another big disappointment, back to qualifying, George also didn't... He came out too early at the end of Q1, and they didn't put enough gas in the car to do a second hot lap when the track was obviously getting better and better and better as the laps were going around, and he had to just come into pit when he should have had more time to go around and just missed out of the top 15 cars.
Yeah. I mean, that was, with the performance of the Mercedes over the last couple of races, that was just a criminal mistake to make. I mean, that's just poor decision-making. Similar to we saw during qualifying with the Alpines. I don't know if it would session it was. Actually, it would have been Q1 as well, because both Ocon and Pierre were out in Q1. Both of them were sitting in the garage.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's to not even put people out for a final try on a drying track. It's just not a good look at all.
Yeah. And they weren't looking, you know, that slow during practice that they wouldn't, like, they should have had a chance of getting out of Q1 and not even going out for a run. That's just ridiculous. But yeah, it's particularly disappointing for Checo and George not making it through. But both of the RBs and both of the Astons making it into Q3. Lewis just barely made it through into the last session, but was able to just squeak in. Really good from them. The Astons have seemed to be able to turn it around last race, and now coming into here, they've figured something out where their awful form has turned around a bit, and at least they're back in the conversation for the top five teams.
Yep. And, you know, Logan got into Q2 again, both Williams getting in. My friends. So, you know, we're always going to be
the props.
Yeah. But this is, you know, this track is, there's no real high speed involved. If I was to hear the reference to Monaco without walls, and how everyone says it's Monaco without walls, and then immediately says how it's not Monaco without walls, it's kind of getting a little tiresome. But it is the second twistiest track of the season. Yeah. You know, the second and third sectors are all just, you know, turn after turn. The middle sector in particular is just turn after turn after turn.
Yeah,
it's. Which I guess is why we get some unexpected results, because it's, you know, it's just a different kind of track.
Yeah.
So, but from the Williams boys, who have always been historically better in the high speed, this isn't the circuit for them.
No, but still a good result from what we're used to from them here. And then unfortunately we got another crash in qualifying. Yuki this time, with just over 2 minutes left in the session. At this point, it was looking like, you know, the McLarens were a shoo-in for a 1-2, and they brought out an immediate red flag, which, you know, stopped a bunch of guys' laps that were looking partially decent, at least to improve their time. Alonso, in particular, was one that was really mad after the session because of how quickly the red flag came out, but it looked like, you know, Max might have another chance to go after that pole position after failing on his last lap. But, you know, it looked like he might have another shot, but they just decided not to come out for a last lap, which is crazy. They had the time, why not give it one more go? But they said that they just wouldn't be able to do it, I guess.
Yeah, and I think everyone got back across the line to do a flying lap, except for Carlos, who got stuck and just missed out getting across the line for a final flying lap. But in the end, he was he was sixth anyway. He was just behind Charles, ahead of Alonso. So it was we got a little bit of mix up at the front, but then, you know, behind the McLarens on the front and Max and Lewis on second, it was the Ferraris and then the Astons.
RBs. Yeah,
no, Carlos was actually fourth, wasn't he?
Yeah, Carlos was fourth.
Yeah.
So. And then the RBs were at the back of the top 10.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Danny put in the only guy to improve on that last lap anyway. So maybe Max was right, because no one was able to put in a better time except for Danny, and he just moved one spot ahead of Yuki, who had crashed out. So...
yeah, Yuki just ran out of road on, what is it, turn five? I guess maybe he just got on the gas too early, and he ran wide. Yeah. And then there was just no grip out there on the, it's like AstroTurf. Kind of like
jumped up on the curb, like the floor hit the curb and it jumped up in the air a bit and he slammed into the wall. But at least he was all right. And my McLaren guy starting 1-2 on the grid. How amazing.
Yeah. It was great. It was, you know, Lando, no one can argue with how good Lando's been driving right now. And Oscar is right there as well. And yeah, they've got a solid driver lineup that can take 1-2 on the front of the, you know, just like Mercedes and Ferrari.
Yeah.
Unlike Red Bull.
Yes, unfortunately not. Poor Red Bull. But that's it from qualifying. So on to the race start. Lando did have a pretty good start off the line, but Oscar just had a better one. Max was coming up fast behind them too, and it seemed like Lando was really, you know, paying more attention to Max, and then he scooted around the outside and went very wide off the track. Oscar was able to get ahead of Lando, and Lando kind of lost some ground going through that turn, and Max was speeding from off the track and was able to take the second position going into turn two, I guess.
Yeah, it was Lando got off the line really well. His reaction was pretty much the same as Oscar's. I think when they flashed it on the screen, Lando was 0.25 and Oscar was 0.24. reaction time, but they both got off really well. That's not gonna, you know, that hundredth of a second reaction time isn't gonna make any difference. What made the difference was the upshift into second for Lando. Whether it was the car, I don't know, or whether he just changed too early, too late. Yeah, but it was that second phase of the start where Oscar came up the inside, and he positioned his car really, really well, that it was like he established that he was there. Max coming the other side as well, and it looked for a second like they were all going to come together. Yeah. And you could see a point from Lando's in car where he goes to turn and he sees, you know, Oscar's there. He comes over slightly to the left, but Max is there. But he's got a turn, and, you know, that was just the way that they kept all three of those cars on track.
Yeah,
was great. I mean, absent the fact that Max then decided, I don't want to get involved here, I'll just straight line it and just pick up second position. He was always going to get a penalty for that. So it took a couple of laps for them to kind of say, the reason you were in that position to get, and Lando said it's like the only reason he was ahead going into the turn is because he braked way too late and was never going to make the turn anyway. So whether that's really true or whether it was just to prove a point, they probably all could have got around that corner. Oscar did understeer a little bit. He came across the track quite a little bit, but they just kind of all stayed away from one another, kept it on the, you know, not necessarily between the white lines, but on the track, and they all lived to fight another lap. So,
away good from driving each other. By everyone.
Yes, exactly. And a really great start, and a lot of, you know, just what Formula One kind of is right now with the rules and everyone telling teacher on everyone else. But they survived the first corner, and then they moaned at race control for a little bit and just gave us a bit of drama. But coming out of that, it was Oscar over Max for a few laps, and then Lando. But when you actually see how it all unfolded, because Lando had to back out a little bit for those guys, Lewis actually got past him as well, and I think there was Lewis and Max just jostling a little through turn two that just forced everyone a little bit wide, and Lewis had to back out a bit, and that kind of found Lando still back in third. Now, it would have been really interesting if they told Max that he needed to give the position back to Lando if Lewis was in between them. That would have been super interesting. I hadn't even thought about that until literally right now.
He would have had to let them both go through.
He'd had to let them both go through, and then Lando would have had to get past Lewis. So,
yeah,
intrigue would have ensued.
Yeah, absolutely. But Max did finally on lap four let Lando go through begrudgingly, arguing with his engineer the whole way. But he did ultimately let him back in at a little precarious of a spot too. It was kind of in a difficult situation where there were lots of turny bits coming up, and but Lando was able to stay ahead for a little bit. Oscar was pulling away at the lead at this point, controlling it.
Yeah, but I think that Max giving the position back to Lando was probably a sort of, it seemed like it was probably planned for where he could let him by and then have the strongest chance to just stay in his DRS. Sure. To make it back as quickly as possible, which is kind of against the spirit of the whole give the position back thing.
Absolutely.
But as long as you go through a couple of corners, I think that they think, you know, they say it's kind of okay.
Yeah, if he had gotten right back again, he probably would have still gotten a penalty from the stewards for that. But it all worked out okay in the end at this moment. Albon and Kevin Magnussen came in on lap seven. They started on soft tires. I don't remember if they were new. They were on new soft tires. Oddly, Lance and Alonso, who are in the top 10, also started on soft tires, but used ones from them.
And actually, looking at the thing that Martin sent us from the Pirelli thing, Hulkenberg pitted on lap two. Now, I didn't actually notice that during the race. Was that for contact, or do we know? Because I've two laps on the medium tire is clearly not the stint that they were anticipating.
No, probably not. So, yeah, I guess he must have had some sort of contact.
Yeah,
I guess I noticed it on lap six in my notes, but yeah, I didn't notice it during the race. They didn't show it. There was a lot of action going on at that time. So,
and a lot of talk of will Max let Lando by.
Sure, yeah, right. Exactly. But ultimately Alonso and Danny responded after those two guys, and Lando built up a gap. Lap 12, he's 2 seconds ahead of Max. But it seems like they're kind of starting to save tires a little bit this time, so they're not really racing too hard at this moment in time.
Continue the conversation on pine-sports.com. That's pine-sports.com and the Pine Sports Discord, which you can find linked on the website. And join us in a one-of-a-kind fantasy Formula One contest at coopsf1.com. That's coopsf1.com, where you can put your theories to the test.
Lance came in on lap 15. He was the last of the soft runners to come in. And then we hear from Lando's engineer, oddly enough, on lap 16 that they're racing Max behind, not racing Oscar ahead. It seemed like maybe he had some sort of issue, or they just didn't want him battling Oscar, which is weird.
Yeah, it was funny. I didn't see any of the buildup, but apparently they had to do something with Lando's car.
That's right.
I didn't see what that was.
I didn't realize what it was either.
But apparently there was something that they needed to look at. And so I don't know whether that was a thing, but
precautionary.
Yeah. But, you know, maybe they were thinking that it could be a problem. And maybe at that point, the tactic was if Oscar was in the front, that Lando would just be the rear gunner a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was, to your point, it was definitely at that point they were saying to Lando, it's, you know, you're not battling for the win at this point.
Yeah. Very strange. And the next lap after that, Lewis was the first of the medium runners in the top 10 to come in. And it looked like he was maybe trying to undercut Max and maybe Lando, two spots ahead of him, and obviously trying to stay ahead of the Ferraris behind. But Lando responded on the next lap and had a pretty good stop. He was able to stay ahead of Lewis and, you know, put a pretty good gap on Max, who didn't come in for a few laps after that. That might have been when he started. Yeah, that's when he started complaining about brakes and the guys ahead of him undercutting him, sarcastically complaining to his engineers about that.
That was bad. Some of the communications that we were hearing from them was a little bit odd.
Yeah.
A little bit whiny.
We had lots of instances of Max complaining on the radio during this race. But on the next lap, Oscar has an 8-second lead over Max. Oscar came in there. Max staying out longer. I mean, we've seen the overcut work, strangely, for Lando a few times over the past few races. But often it's the undercut that does better. I guess Charles was ultimately the last one of the leaders to pit on lap 24. So he had the lead for a little bit. Couple laps, but he came ahead of a charging Yuki, but he was able to stay ahead of him barely. I guess George and Checo, they started on hard tires, so they were staying out for quite a while, building up as the other guys were coming into pit. Carlos was making up places, passing George, who had obviously stayed out on those hard tires. Let's see. And then a few laps later, lap 34, we see Oscar had a moment of scare where he went off track. He saw gravel flipping up behind him and he lost a second or two to Lando. And it was hard for him to kind of build up that gap again.
Yeah, because up until then, it'd been like a four second lead or so. So you got like 4 seconds from Oscar back to Lando, 4 seconds from Lando back to, I think, was it Lewis at that point? But yeah, that one little off took the gap down to about 1.5, 1.6 seconds, I think. Which then, you know, Lando can smell blood at that point.
Sure. And then Max was right up behind Lewis on the next lap, and Lewis was obviously defending him pretty aggressively. It was, you know, interesting hearing Max complaining about Lewis turning under braking. You know, we saw Max doing that in Austria a lot when ultimately we had that crash when Lando was trying to pass him. And I mean, Lewis was probably doing it a little bit, but it didn't seem nearly as obvious as when Max was doing it just a few races ago. But
yeah, there was one where it was like, is that a double move?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably, maybe. But yeah, he wasn't clearly reacting to the move of the driver behind to intentionally block. Went across to block and then leaked out a little bit to the outside, ready to take the next corner.
Yeah.
So it was not as egregious as some of Max's moves in Austria.
Yeah. And many other places before that, but that's the most recent example.
I've got a short memory.
Let's see. And then Lewis was still able to keep him behind for the next few laps. I mean, Max must have been really mad, and this is giving more breathing room to the McLaren, to Lando is still gaining on Oscar, and just building that gap from Lewis to Lando bigger and bigger. And Max ultimately, oh no, we're not there yet. Let's see. Lando, so this is when Lando is called in for a pit stop before Oscar. Obviously, the gap is much smaller than it was the first time Lando had come into pit. Oscar came in two whole laps later, and he comes out behind Lando, and this is where the shenanigans really starts.
Yeah. I mean, because Lewis was coming, you know, he was charging. He was really gaining on Lando. So they wanted to pit Lando first. If it had just been normal, they'd have given preference to Oscar on which, you know, when he was ready to stop, and they say the ideal stop will go for the person who's in the lead of the race. and Lando would and Oscar would have stopped first, but because of the charging Lewis coming up behind, they quite rightly decided that the best opportunity for a 1-2 is to bring in Lando first.
Yeah,
that just meant that Lando came out behind Oscar, but then when Oscar pitted, the undercut was pretty strong and meant that Oscar came out, despite he was like a second and a half ahead before the pit stops, two laps later, coming out of the pit stop, he found himself behind Lando.
Yeah, by like, what was it, close to 4 seconds behind him.
So. Yeah, I mean, it was like the undercut was crazy good at this stage of the race.
And then Max finally came in two laps after that. You know, so he's on fresher tires than the leaders, but still complaining about coming in so much later than the rest of the guys up near the front. We didn't have much action for a little bit at this time, other than Lando's engineer trying to explain to him how they're going to need Oscar at some point in the future if they have a chance of winning the championship, and trying to get him to slow down so that Oscar can catch up to him, which is, you know, usually don't get that full conversation over the radio for such a long period of time.
It was long period of time. It felt, like, I don't know how many laps 15 it was,
laps.
But it, it was a long time. It was a long time of basically, because, yeah, you get it. You don't want to hold Lando up, moving the positions back to how they should have been.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to disadvantage him and put him into the clutches of the person coming behind, who they were pitting to avoid the undercut to start with. But then it kind of goes on and on. And it's like, well, he's now got a 4 second gap and he's trying to make up 4 seconds on someone who's not giving up any time at all.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day,
it was awkward.
You know, Lando suddenly found himself in the lead of the race, and it's like, I want to go and win this thing.
Yeah.
So he took some talking around to the situation over 15 odd laps.
Yeah. You know, I was worried we were going to get another Seb Mark Webber situation. I forget the phrase that they always use.
Multi 21. Malaysia 2013.
Yes. Mark Webber very upset in the cool down room with Seb. But Max was finally able to get by Lewis again, but Lewis was still able to hold him up. But on lap 63, Max, being extra frustrated with just how everything is going in this race, brakes super late, trying to cut on the inside of Lewis turning right, and just locks all four tires up and ends up bumping his back left wheel with Lewis's front right wheel and jumps up in the air a bit. And
he got some serious air. He was like
four
or 5 feet in the air. It was, he
hit the ground.
It was kind of a Lance Stroll-esque maneuver, mm-hmm. barreling up the inside far faster than your brakes can retard you. It was a crazy lunge that anyone else would get a penalty for.
Yeah. And if the commentators felt that way as well. But after the race, I don't know if you saw Lewis being asked about this. He said he felt like it was a racing incident and that the steward should just drop it and not talk about it, which is, you wouldn't expect that from Lewis, but you know, I guess he's a hard racer. So he's like, look, just a racing incident. Nothing had bad happened to either of our cars.
It. Yeah. Everyone finished the race and Max finished behind Lewis. So what does Lewis have to gain by saying that penalties are in need? It's a little inconsistent, but you know, because the whole point of penalties for causing collisions is supposed to be agnostic to the outcome.
Right.
That's the whole premise of it, is that it shouldn't, whatever happens, it shouldn't be because, rightly or wrongly, because I think in Austria, Max finished the race and Lando didn't.
Right.
And
yeah,
this one, it's like, oh, well, they both didn't go out and they both sort of finished the race in where they came out of the collision once they were back on the track and all of that. But yeah, I don't know. It just, when as soon as it said, we'll be investigated after the race, it's like, yeah, that's, you know, anyone else, that would have been the penalty strike there on the spot.
Yeah.
And they'd have had probably 5 seconds out to their race.
Yeah. But I believe it was a 70-lap race altogether, so it took until lap 68 for Lando to finally slow way down, and Oscar just flew by. But they had a 13-second gap over Lewis at the time that they switched over, so it really wasn't, you know, much of an issue at the time. But luckily there was no virtual safety car that happened in any of those laps that it caused this to all get super messed up. And you know, it ended that way, Oscar getting the first Grand Prix win of his career, the first driver born in the 2000s to win a Grand Prix, and the first McLaren 1-2 since Monza 2021. Which Lando finished second in that race as well. So
I actually said to my little guy, I don't know, I've got a funny feeling about Oscar this weekend, because he's come really close. And it was, I don't know, I just had a feeling about him. And I said to my little guy, I think this is going to be Oscar's race. And I'm glad it was.
Me too.
It was annoying that it kind of, the whole team order thing kind of overshadowed it quite a little bit, because he wasn't handed the win, he'd earned the win through the first 40 laps of the race, or 40 when they came in 40 something laps, so he'd earned the win at that first corner, and he built the lap. Absolutely. Granted, he had that moment which cost him a couple of seconds, but that was just a minor blip. But the pit strategy on the second stop of McLaren to bring Lando in first was entirely situational. And if it was if that situation wasn't there, he'd have come in based on the undercut. He'd have extended his own lead even further over Lando, and then it would have been totally out of the conversation.
Yeah.
So, it all comes down to McLaren have got a car that is now working on all circuits. Whether it's Spa next week, we'll see. Silverstone last week, which is a lot of high speed. This one, which is a lot twistier. Austria, where he was, you know, Lando was really battling, and that's kind of a twistier one as well. They've just got a really, really good car. And it's going to be interesting to see how the rest of the season goes. It'll be super weird, though.
Remember,
it's really, really close at the end of the season, and these 7 points from switching the positions comes into play for the driver's title. Obviously, it won't come into play at all for the constructors, because they still scored the maximum points.
Right.
But it will be interesting if things get close at the end of the season like that.
Yeah, but I guess you could argue that one race, I can't remember which one it was, where Oscar was leading the race and the pit stops took his win away, and Lando was pushed farther ahead because of that. So it all equals out. That's how F1 works, right? One guy gets an advantage from a safety car. The next race, he loses because of the safety car. So, but we will see. And obviously, Lewis coming off his win at the British Grand Prix, getting another podium place. Great for him. I mean, the only two winners I really put here are McLaren and Lewis.
Lewis with his 200th podium.
Right. Crazy.
His career, which is nuts, because I don't know how many drivers have 200 races in their career. And for Lewis to be 200 podiums over half of those.
I don't even know what second is.
It's a stat that I have never Googled. But when you think about it, though, it's like Lewis has had 200 podiums. 104, is it 105 now? I forget which. Was it 104?
I think it's 104. 104.
Or was it, yeah.
Or but anyways, it, no, the point it was,
yeah. Yeah. The point is, more than half of his podiums have been wins, which yeah. is mental. Lando, I think this was his 12th second place to his wow. one victory.
Right.
You know,
and he's had a lot of third places too.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that Lando's definitely cemented himself as being the guy to pick up the pieces if Max is not winning. But he just had a bad start today. And yeah. the battle between those two teammates in McLaren is so tight. Oscar's such a good young driver that he's giving Lando run for his money. And it seems like he's gotten over his tire wear issue problems in that he historically he cooked his tires and found himself falling back a little bit in the latter stages of the race, certainly in the latter stages of stints. But
yeah,
it just seems like he's gotten to the bottom of that over this last couple of races and being a much sterner test for not just Lando, but you know, all of the top four teams.
Yeah. So it looks like the next guy is Schumacher, of course, with 155. But Lewis has podiumed in close to 58% of his races total in F1. He's podiumed.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Especially when you think how few podiums he's had in the last 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, did he have one podium finish last year? One or two?
It's been single digits over the last, well, it's certainly single digits over the last 3 years.
Yeah. Crazy. But we did have some losers on the weekend. Obviously, Max is, if he's not winning, he's a loser at this point. That's where he's at in his career. Fernando, who started in the top 10, was beaten by Lance, who's also another guy who's been having a completely awful season in total. And Danny losing a point starting position to Yuki, who was able to get, you know, P9 again, doubling now Danny's points on the season. Another good race for Yuki.
Yeah, Yuki having they had to rebuild his car, obviously. And Danny in qualifying looked really good. He was setting laps. I mean, he was at one point, I think as the track was drying, Danny went to the top of the timesheets. Maybe that was in Q2.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to his weekend. It was looking good, and then, you know, he came back and he was only in front of the slow guys. So
yeah,
you know, Joe and Bottas and Ocon and Gasly was out, but yeah, he only finished ahead of the Williamses, the Saubers and the Haas, who didn't have a good week this week.
No, they didn't.
When you look at what Nico Hülkenberg did over the last couple of rounds, you kind of maybe put him in there as well, in that it was he's, you know, maybe just the Haas team in general, based off the last couple of races. Maybe it's a track characteristic thing, but it just was not working for them today.
Yeah. I mean, they were kind of filling the gap of the Astons, who were really, really bad coming in. And, you know, the Alpines, I guess, were kind of in that spot too. But another awful weekend from the Alpine team. I mean, Ocon finished P18 and Pierre was out halfway through the race and started from the pit lane anyway. So, you know, just a really bad weekend from them. And I guess that will bring us to Coop's F1. Of course, Martin is not here this weekend. So I guess I'll give, you know, another low scoring weekend. We've had a few of those recently. Obviously, lots of people pick Max to be the winner, but when he's not, and Checo and George being so far down the grid, it's going to make for low scoring. I guess the first place was Holy Hercules with 234 points, top scorer. Max for Strap-On got 231 points. And then to Pine Sports, I finally cracked the top 100, moving up 19 places.
And I didn't put any picks in. So I guess my Silverstone picks carried over on a very different circuit. So I didn't see how many points I got, but probably not many.
Yeah. Well, now it's not loading, so I won't even be able to tell you. But Mark, I think, is still in fourth place out of everybody. Some guys moving around him, but holding strong for the four of us. The prediction consensus robot went down, so that is nice. I don't think Martin had a very good weekend, unfortunately.
Yeah, I had 128 points. I dropped down to 65th position. So I'm number two in Coop's Mates and number one in Pine Sports.
I moved up to 86th place. There we go. I'm not that far behind you now. I think I got 198 points this weekend. So not too bad considering how everything went. And then we've got one more race before the summer break. What is that? Belgium Spa. Oh, yeah.
Weather usually has some influence over a Spa weekend.
Yeah.
It's crazy little microclimate they have in this particular spot in Belgium. And always good racing, a classic track.
One of the longest.
The longest circuit on the grid. On the calendar rather, and could throw in some different results, but it's going to be an interesting one because the summer break is always where things kind of happen, whether it be the final driver lineups coming in. And so, you know, you talk about Alpine and the troubles that they've had. There was a time, you know, only a race or two ago where Alpine were looking pretty good and the conversation was, well, is that going to be a target for Carlos with Ocon going to Haas? Has Ocon to Haas been officially announced yet?
I don't know if it's been officially confirmed, but
K-Mag's departure has officially been announced, but I'm not sure if they've announced that Ocon's going there yet. But there is a seat at Alpine, and Carlos is still seeing where the chips land with Checo for a start. Yeah. And if that's going to happen, if Mercedes are still gung-ho on Kimi Andrea Antonelli going into the works Mercedes seat, still so much up there. It just feels like Spa is always the one where things get decided because people want to put it out before the summer break. Or I think sometimes Spas come at the end of the summer break as well and things have been all done and dusted there. But we just want to kind of know what happens at this point. We've been held in suspense long enough for the Mercedes / where's Carlos going to go?
Yeah.
Sort of.
It's all Lewis's fault. All that news broke so early before the season started in
February. Yeah.
Now we're all expecting all this news to come right away, but we'll probably be getting some stuff soon, I'm sure.
He has to give up the corner. I had to bounce ahead. What is wrong with these people?
Thanks for listening to the Undercuts review of the 2024 Hungarian Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and join us next time for our review of the 2024 Belgian Grand Prix. See you then.